Okay, we continue on in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, where we're going to be going over 1 Corinthians. We'll finish up, we'll do chapter 4 here, and then there appears to be a change of subject. It's not really a change of subject in chapter 5, but he moves on to something else in relation to what he's talking about. So we'll do chapter 4. Because it's another continuation of the thoughts that he's been talking about from chapters 1, 2, 3. Chapter 3 ended talking about Paul and Apollos, Cephas, and their relations to the gospel and the things that they're teaching about how the world... We're not to succumb to the foolishness of the world, but we're to be wise in our own, in the understanding of God's creation and His Word and the gospel. Let no man glory in men, he had said, for all things are yours, and we explain that about how all things are at your disposal. Then he talks about himself and the other apostles. Whether it's of us, basically, or the world or life, you have the ability to choose. It's at your disposal. He says, but you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And then he opens up in chapter 4 saying, let a man so account of us. See, he's still talking about himself and the apostles. Let a man account of us, judge us, look upon us as the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. It was given to the apostles to go forth and bring the gospel into the world, to start ministering Christ unto all people as stewards of the mysteries of God. Now mysteries, when Paul talks about mysteries, there were things that were hidden, Paul talks about, and the Bible talks about, things that were hidden being revealed. God doesn't have secrets that He's hiding from us in these mysteries, that everything in Scripture we're to understand, unless it specifically says so. Like in Revelation, it says the seven thunder spoke and He said, don't write that. I don't want you to know about that yet. But everything else, Paul, as Paul goes through here and he talks about mysteries, he's talking about revealing mysteries, explaining basically and expounding upon those things that were written before in the prophecies and in the Old Testament, explaining how those things relate and what they meant and how they relate to the gospel. And so Paul and the other apostles, as they write, they are revealing mysteries. They're not keeping secrets. They don't have these great secrets that they only have and nobody else has. Paul is revealing these things. So they are stewards of the mysteries of God, he talks about. And those mysteries are the Scriptures, the explanations of the truth of God's Word as it relates to the gospel and the coming forth and the fulfilling of all things in Jesus. And that's what he's talking about here. A lot of people, and the Gnostics specifically back in this time and even today, because the Gnostics are still around. Gnostics, they claim that they had some greater knowledge. And that's one of the things that Paul is combating here. So he says, take account of us. Account of us. Look upon the gospel and upon the mysteries of God and of Christ as we are revealing them to you, and you judging yourselves. Take account of us. Account of us so that you may know that what we're saying is true. Because we're the stewards of the mysteries of God. And he says, moreover, it is required in stewards. So he just said that they were, the apostles were stewards of the mysteries of God. He said, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If they're the stewards of the mysteries of God, they have to be faithful to those mysteries. They have to be faithful to the things that God has put forth. They have to be faithful to the Word as it was written. There's no separation between the Word of God and Old Testament, New Testament. God is one God, and the New Testament is simply the revealed mysteries of God from the Old Testament. It's an explanation of how the gospel is unfolded. And they must be found faithful. Paul is saying, give account of us. Check us out. We must be faithful if we're going to be stewards of God and of His mysteries and of the revelation of them. We have to be faithful to that. Check and see if we're not. Check and see that we are very faithful to them. And he says, but with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. It doesn't concern me that you judge me, because if you judge me properly according to the word of God, it's going to be revealed that I am God's messenger and I am staying faithful to God's mysteries and God's word. It's a small thing to me if I'm judged by anyone. Paul's saying, I don't care if you judge me. Check me out. See if it's not so. He has said that before. And he has mentioned that before. Search the scriptures. Be sure that these things are so. The other apostles mentioned the same thing. They talk about, they don't care if you check them out to see if they're right or not. Paul doesn't have a problem with it. It's a very small thing to me, he said. Judge me. So it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. I couldn't care less if you judge these words that I speak unto you. I judge not mine own self. In other words, he's saying, I'm relying on the truth of God to reveal the truth that I'm speaking to you. He's not saying that he doesn't self-judge examine himself. He said, before, examine yourself to be sure that you're in the faith. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, I don't judge according to mine own intuitive abilities and ideas. The things that I'm saying, I'm judging by the word of God. I don't judge mine own self. I compare myself with what it is that God has said. That's what he's talking about here. So it's a very small thing. I don't care if I'm judged of anyone. You, man's judgment, it's no big deal to me. I don't judge my own self. I look at the word of God to see what it is, what the truth of the matter is. For I know nothing by myself. See, he expounds upon that and explains it. Because I know nothing of myself. I can't judge on mine own self because I know nothing of myself. Yet am I not hereby justified? By what? By the word of God. By the truth being revealed. By those mysteries of old being opened up and revealed. And the truth coming forth. Examine me. Judge me. Compare what I'm saying to the word of God. Doesn't bother me any. And that's where somebody that is legitimate and sincere, that's where they are. I don't care if you judge me. Check me out. Of course, Paul's an apostle here. He's speaking by inspiration of God. But anyone else that's sincere and hopeful in the things of God, they don't care if they're judged. Judge me. Check me out. Because if I'm wrong, I want to be corrected. If I'm not wrong, then you have an obligation to walk in the ways of truth that you know is right. I know nothing of myself, Paul said. Yet am I not hereby justified by the word of God and his truth? But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Let the Lord judge me. Not in a sense, see, people use phrases like this and say, you can't judge me, only God can judge me. That's not what he said. Nowhere near what he said. But he said he knows that he's justified by the judgment of God. That's what he knows. So this turns most people's ideas on their ear, because it's not what he said. It's exactly the opposite of what he said, as most people think. You can't judge me. God judges me. He says, I'm justified by the judgment of God. How many people that say that can say that they are justified by the judgment of God? Not many of them. And it makes those people contrary to what Paul's saying here. I don't care if you judge me. Judge me. Judge me by the word of God. Let's compare. Let's see what's right. Search the scriptures. Make sure what I'm saying is so. That's what Paul says. But most people aren't like that. They don't like to be examined, because they know deep down that they are not in line with God. And they say only God can judge me because all that does is put judgment afar off so that they don't want to deal with it right now. Well, let God judge me. Well, he will. And will people be found justified when they're judged by the Lord? That's a big question, isn't it? One that they don't want to answer. That's why they put it afar off. And he says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. That's when the justification there comes. He's not saying you can't judge anybody until the time. What he's saying is the final count, the final revelation, the final judgment is going to come forth when the Lord comes. Right? In other words, Paul's saying, you're trying to compare me to these other people, these other teachers that are teaching false things, and you're judging them as truthful right now, but you better be careful. Don't judge anything until the time. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying don't judge anything at all right now. Judge nothing before the time means don't make any final judgments upon it. You better be listening to me comparing the scriptures to it, because that is the only thing that's going to fulfill itself. Those are the things that aren't going to be burned up, as we talked about before, when the Lord comes. Who both will bring to light, see here he explains it better, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. See, you can't judge things that you don't, how many times have I said, you can't make a proper judgment if you don't have all the information, right? You need the information. So these people Paul are talking to, these Corinthians, they're making judgments before they have all the information, before they judge all the information properly, before they put it all in its proper context. He's saying, therefore judge nothing before the time. That's the context that he's talking in. Until the Lord comes and reveals everything and shines light upon the darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. So you might want to put the judgment of God upon yourself afar off, but you better be concerned. You better be judging yourself. You better be looking at yourself. You better be asking yourself these questions. Is this teaching lining up with everything that's in the scriptures? Because he will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then every man have praise of God. Every man properly judged will have praise of God. Okay? You embrace the proper things. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos. What does that mean? I have in a figure. I have used examples. I have transferred to me and Apollos this to show you more readily. It's in a figure. I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. That no one of you be puffed up for one against another. I'm using myself and Apollos in this example as I'm speaking to you to try to teach you the proper ways of understanding. That's what Paul is saying. I have used us. I have used us as examples to put forth unto you so that you might readily see, that you might understand, that you might learn in us, in the example that I'm putting forth here, not to think of men above that which is written. Don't think of me and Apollos as any great thing. Don't think of any other man as any great thing. It's all about God and it's all in God. That's what he's been explaining before in the earlier chapters. That no one of you be puffed up for one against another. I've planted Paul, Apollos is watered, and God brings forth the increase. You can't choose factions, and you can't make factions among yourself and choose one man above another and puff up one against another. He's better than him. I follow Apollos. I follow Paul. I follow Cephas. I'm do this. That's what he's explaining to them. I've used me and Apollos as examples to show to you that that's not the way to do things. You don't puff up by the men that you follow. Don't think of men above that which is written. Man is but dust. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou hast not received? Who has made you different? What do you have that you haven't received, or that someone else hasn't benefited you with? What is it that you have that you haven't gotten from another? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Well, that's kind of confusing language, but it's really simple, actually. What is it that you haven't gotten from someone else? And if you've gotten it from someone else, why are you acting like you came up with it all on your own? Why are you acting like you are the source of this great thing? Everything that you know, somebody used to say, we're all just streams from thousands of tributaries that have entered into us. Nobody is in and of themselves independent, different. Everybody has gotten who they are and has been built by the input of others. Everything you've gotten, you've received from somebody else. Every bit of knowledge you have, you've heard it somewhere else first. Everything about you has come from somewhere else. So why do you act like you didn't? Why do you act like that you came up with this all on your own? Why do you act like you're your own person? Why do you think you need to be so independent? You're not independent. How many times have I said all these people that want to act independent and I want to be independent and act independent, what do? They end up running off following some group. Whether it's gothics or bikers or cowboys or whatever it is, they want to be independent and express their individuality, and they follow in another group. They've deceived themselves into thinking they haven't received it. But they have received it. The only group that people don't want to be in like that is a group that follows the Bible to the best of their ability. That's a cult. But if you run off with a bunch of bikers, that's independence. You see how foolish the world is? That's what Paul's combating here. Why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? You're not independent. No matter how individualistic you want to be, you've gotten it from somewhere else. Now you're full. Now ye are rich. I love Paul. You read readings of Paul. He's slipping into a little bit of sarcasm here now. And that's going to play out in the rest of this chapter. You're going to see it. You know what sarcasm is, right? Sarks is flesh. Literally, it's a word that means rending the flesh. That's what sarcasm is. Because that's really what you do with sarcasm. You want to rend the flesh. You want to rend the puffed upness of somebody else. So you're sarcastic, right? You know what sarcasm is. Paul's getting sarcastic here. Now ye are full. Now ye are rich. Ye have reigned with king as, excuse me, you have reigned as kings without us. Why do you glory as if you have not received it? And now, see, he turns and says, oh, you're full. You're rich. You've reigned as kings. You're so smart. You think you're something, Paul says. Oh, but I would to God that ye did reign. Oh, I wish you really did reign as kings, that we might reign with you. I really do wish that, so that we might reign with you. We might be up there with you. He's being sarcastic. You think you're something. You think you've received something of your own and of yourselves. You're so full. You're so rich. You're kings. Oh yeah, I wish you really were kings, because then what would the apostles be? For I think that God hath set forth us apostles last. We're the dredge of society. We're the numbskulls. We don't know nothing. But y'all are kings. That's what Paul is saying here. He has set forth us apostles last, as it were appointed to death, the lowest of lowest. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Yeah, we're made a spectacle to the world. Paul is saying, if this is our lot, why do you think you are so wonderful and so great? What makes you so high and mighty to think you're reigning as kings? Now, do you think any one of these Corinthians would have said that with their mouth? Oh, we're reigning as king. Do you think they would have said that? Probably not. Paul is hitting to the heart of the matter and saying, this is the way you're acting. This is what you think you are, whether you want to admit it or not. You think you're full and rich and reigning as kings. Us apostles, we're the dregs of society. We're made a spectacle unto the world. We appear to the world as though we are the ultimate fool in foolishness. That we are the epitome of fools. That's what we appear to the world. We're made a spectacle to the world, and to angels and to men. We're fools. Yes, but we're fools for Christ's sake. If the world wants us to think that we're fools, if it's for Christ's sake, fine, let it so be. Oh, but you Corinthians, oh, you are wise in Christ. Now, I say Corinthians, but how many people, how many professing Christians think they're wise in Christ? They won't go by the Scriptures. They won't obey what the Word of God says. They won't wander off on their own, think they're independent, think they're wise, think they're reigning as kings, think they're full and rich. They won't listen to the apostles. They won't go by the Word of God because they're smarter than them. Oh, we're fools for Christ, Paul says. We're a bunch of idiots. The apostles are a bunch of idiots. But you guys, oh, y'all are so smart. We're weak. We don't know anything. We're the lowest. We're at the bottom rung of the ladder. But you're strong. Oh, you're up at the top. Ye are honorable. But we're despised. No, honorable high. You're lifted up high and we're pushed down low. You think you know so much. Same way today. People refuse to follow the dictates of Scripture, refuse to walk in the way that the apostles have laid out for Christians to walk. They want to go their own way, be what they think is independent, and think that God is still with them because they're so smart. We don't have to do that. That was for that culture or for that time. We don't have to walk in the way. We don't have to be careful. We don't have to be circumspect. We don't have to watch because the devil as a roaring lion seeketh whom he may devour. We don't have to do all that. We can live our lives the way we wish to live our lives and throw everything else to the wind because we're wise in Christ and we're smart. The apostles, they didn't know anything. That's why they don't read the Bible anymore. They don't need it. They don't need the Bible. Don't need the apostles because they're wise. They're wise in Christ. They're going to die. Even unto this present hour, Paul says, we, both hunger, speaking of the apostles, both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. Now, these things are true. The apostles were, in no uncertain terms, persecuted. He says, and we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled. In other words, people hating us, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. In other words, we don't try to change things in order to escape persecution, is what he's talking about. We're persecuted and we suffer it. We're not going to deny Christ, or we're not going to change the gospel, or we're not going to change the mysteries of God being revealed so that we might not suffer these persecutions. That's what he's talking about. We're being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. People hating us, people talk bad about us, people defame us, we entreat people. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscourging of all things unto this day. Oh, but you're so wonderful and you're so kingly and you're so full and rich. How is it that the apostles, those in the upper echelons of promoting the truth of God's word, how is it that we are so lowly and persecuted and you think you are so big? You think you are so rich and full? How is it? How is that? Now, there's a lot of people that read these last few verses there. They'll read it a lot different. Oh, Paul wasn't sarcastic. It was true. The Corinthians were rich and the apostles were just suffering all these things so that the Corinthians could be rich and full and reign as king. Baloney. That's baloney. Some of the word of faith and health and wealth and prosperity gospel people will teach that. Among others, there are others that say that. That's all thrown out with verse 14. You notice people don't usually take in the whole counsel of God. If someone's preaching something and saying something and they're using a scripture, all you got to do is read up and down a little bit to see whether or not it's so, as Paul told us to do. Check out the scripture. Make sure what I'm telling you is right or not. I write not these things to shame you. There it is. If that was true, what other people say about the apostles suffering so that the Corinthians could be so wonderful, What's the shame about? I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. These are warnings. Paul is warning them. You better straighten up. You better think about what's going on. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. What does that mean? He's about to explain what he means by fathers here below in a little bit. But you might have 10,000 people trying to instruct you in Christ. But how many of them are going to care for you like a loving father? How many are going to tell you the truth and want you to grow up in all things in truth and in righteousness, and in justice? You have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. All these instructors in Christ that you might have, you don't have very many that's going to treat you like a father that have begotten you through the gospel. Not some other way, not some other thing, not some twisting or something contrary to the word of God, but through the gospel. In Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Oh, wait a minute, I thought he just said don't follow men. He's not making the contrast between him and Apollos here. He's saying, follow me. What he said in another place, what did he say? Follow me as what? As I follow Christ. He's saying, stay within the boundaries of the truths that I am teaching you. Follow me. Be followers of me. Because as a father, I have begotten you through Christ Jesus in the gospel of You don't need all these other 10,000 teachers in Christ who are teaching various and different things. Follow me because I have begotten you through the gospel. Follow me according to those things which I have laid out and taught that are being that are revealed in the scriptures, in the truths of the Word of God. You need to follow me. You need to do things according to the pattern that I have laid out on the foundation of Scripture. And we talked about foundation before in the other chapter. Those foundation that has been laid, build upon that. Be followers of me and the truth. He's not saying follow me if I wander off in error. Follow me according as it has been laid out to you. He says, for this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. Paul's very concerned here, because the foundation that he laid in Christ and the parameters that he has set forth are being stretched and avoided and violated. They're not walking according to the way that he laid out. They're not following after the pattern that he set. And Paul's concerned. So he says, I'm sending you Timothy. I'm sending to you Timothy who knows the ways, who is following my ways, who has remained within the boundaries and within the parameters that I've set forth. And I am going to send him to you so that he can remind you about the ways which I taught you. To bring you into remembrance of my ways as a father. He doesn't use that analogy lightly. A father who brings up his children in a certain way and within certain parameters expects his children to follow his ways. And there is nothing more heartbreaking than raising up children and having them run off and do their own thing. Having them run off into ways that you didn't show them. But Paul has Timothy to send to them to remind them. I wonder if they'll listen. As a father who tries to express his love and adoration for his children, that they follow his ways that he has set forth, the ways which be in Christ. We're not talking about somebody teaching their children to, you know, smoke crack. Oh, they didn't follow my ways. No, nobody wants that. No father wants his children to follow them in the ways of error and error and destruction, in the ways which be in Christ. And then he says, as I teach everywhere in every church. In other words, I don't have a different message for different people. It's the same message for everybody. And Timothy's going to come and put you in remembrance of that, of the ways which I have set forth and the parameters which I have given you. But some of you aren't going to listen. Some of you want to be independent. Some of you are going to disappoint. Some of you are going to push the boundaries, do your own thing, and outside of the ways of Christ. Oh, but they didn't call it that, did they? They think they're wise in Christ. right? Oh, you're wise in Christ. You're not following the ways that I have set forth. You're disappointing. You're pushing the envelope. You're changing things. Why? Because of your own thoughts and your own ideas. Because you think you're wise and you can get away with it. Or you can figure this thing out on your own. You know, that's why children are young and parents are older. It's not the other way around. Wouldn't work, would it? Children with no experience, no learning, having received nothing. Can't teach the parents. The parents have to instill the truth in the children. And it's heartbreaking when they wander from that. Now some are puffed up, he says in verse 18. But he said, I don't want to underplay that. He says, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul hasn't changed his message. He doesn't teach something else to different people. It's the same thing. Paul's like, why are you not following my ways? I haven't changed anything. I've taught the same thing the whole time. And everywhere I teach the same thing. Now, some are puffed up, he says, as though I would not come to you. Some of you think you can go on doing your own things, and I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm not going to come and try to put it right. That's what some of you think. Some of you think I shouldn't say anything. I shouldn't have been sarcastic. I shouldn't have been mean. I shouldn't correct you. Some of you are puffed up. You think I'm not going to say anything about it, but I will come to you shortly. Paul understands his responsibilities. He knows he's not just going to keep his mouth shut and let his children do whatever they want to do and think that everything's all right. He can't do that. These children that he begot in Jesus Christ by the gospel, he wants walking in his ways. Now, isn't that interesting? Some of you think I'm not going to say anything. Some of you think I'm not going to put up resistance to your disobedience and your rebellion and your twistings. But I will. I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. And will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. See, people can be puffed up and they can say things. That's not how it's going to happen. Because the words of Paul are not just puffed up speech. The words that he is talking have been laid down on a foundation that has been built on Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the truth of the gospel, and this is with power. Oh, he's not talking about coming in there and forcing them with the arm of man. He's talking about the power of God here. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Don't think that I'm just going to use these puffed up words. No, I'm coming with power. Because I have the truth of the gospel behind me. I have God behind me. I have the ways that I have been preaching to every person in every church, everywhere, the whole time that I've been preaching these things. I have that power. And I will come. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The power is through that word. What Paul's saying here is, I'm not just going to come use this flowery speech. I'm not going to come and just use puffed up speech. No, good, because the power is built in behind what I have been teaching you. The power is the words of the gospel. So it's not just going to be words. It's going to be with power. That power that I have because God's got my back, so to speak. You think you can just continue on the way you are? It's not going to happen. I'm not just coming with words. Vain words. Words that mean nothing, but with the power of God. The things that I tell you are backed up by the power of God. Then he gives them a choice. Just like any father talking to any child gives them a choice. What am I going to do? It's up to you. Do you want the rod? Or do you want love? The rod is love, but you understand what I'm saying. Do you want a loving embrace or do you want the rod? What will ye? Paul has laid it out for them all. He has expressed himself through the Word of God, wanting them to walk in his ways, to follow him according to the path of the gospel. Now, what is it? What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? How do you want it? How would you like to receive me? How would a child like to receive his father? You want to do what's right? You want to just do what's right and walk in all the righteousness and understanding and the truth that you have? Do you want to follow in the ways of the Father within certain parameters and let there be truth? So that there's love and meekness? Or is there going to be independence and resistance and rebellion? And I have to come with the rod. It's up to you. What will ye? He's sending forth this warning. As he said, it's a warning. I'm sending forth this warning to you. Now it's in your lap. What are you going to do with it? Am I going to come with the rod? Am I going to have to come and knock things into place? Because he's not just coming with words. He's coming with power. There's going to be some things set straight, Paul's saying. It's up to you. And he's going to go in chapter 5. He's going to start explaining some things. He kind of switches thoughts, but it's in the same vein. He basically brings forth an example, a parenthetical example of what he's talking about here. You think you're so smart. Let me explain to you something. That's what he's about to jump into. But it's up to you. What do I do? Paul's not going to back down. Paul's going to suffer his persecution. He's not going to compromise on the Word of God. He's not going to compromise on the truth and the ways that he has laid out. Not going to do that. So, what will you? Am I going to come and enforce those things that I have taught? I can either come and enforce them, or you can readily submit to them. Paul would much rather have these people submit to the right ways and the ways of doing things than to have to scold them. Any father would just love for his children just to do the right thing. Do what you know to do. Continue in the ways that have been taught so that there can be love and harmony and meekness throughout. Rather than have the children push those boundaries and have to enforce the things that he has taught. That's just the ways of it. You say, why are you always picking on me. It's always something. You're always correcting me. That's not true. Not always correct. When something goes wrong, you have to correct. Do people expect when they push the boundaries and kick against the pricks that they're not going to get scolded or not going to get corrected? That's what most people want. Just let me be my own person. Let me do what I want to do and stop picking on me. Most people only remember the bad things. They only remember the scolding. They only remember the corrections. They never remember the love and the meekness and the fun. They take that 90% and throw it out the window because of 10% of having to be corrected. You know what that is? That's a rebel. That's a rebel. That's somebody that wants their own ways. And they deceive themselves into thinking that's okay. They lie to themselves thinking, always being corrected. When they're not. But Paul wants them to follow the ways that he has laid out. He is sending Timothy to remind them, even though this letter is a reminder. Don't be puffed up. Don't think of yourselves as some high and wonderful thing. Don't run off after the teachings of someone else that tells you what you want to hear and tickles your ears, even if it's yourself that's doing it. And consider the apostles as something base and lowly. They did it in Corinth. They're doing it today. I don't need the apostles. God knows my heart. Yeah, sure does. So that's basically where we're at. That's where most of the church sits right now. They're either going to hear the words of the apostles and submit to them, hence love and meekness, or they're going to reject and resist them, and hence the rod. And people wonder why things happen, or they... That's how God is. God is dealing with people today, trying to get people in line. Some he deals with more harshly than others, but he's dealing with them. But that's what Paul is telling the Corinthians. That's what a real preacher tells Christians today. You better get in line. Just do what you know to do is right. Follow the ways that you've been taught on the foundations of the gospel and of Jesus Christ to the best of your ability. It's not that difficult. It's not that hard. People make it hard.